In my house, there are two ways to do things. There's my way, and there is Corey's way, okay? I know what you were thinking, Maria. Shame on you. My way is if I have an idea in mind that I want to get something done, it doesn't matter how long it takes, I just start doing it to get it done. I don't have time to sit through and think, is there an easier way to do what I'm planning on doing? I just start doing it. Corey, on the other hand, was born to always think there is an easier way to accomplish something. If he can take off even 5 minutes of the process, he is about it. But the thing with Corey, he then plans it, how it's going to simplify, and may take hours, days, months, before he comes up with the idea that's going to simplify whatever he's going to do. Let me give you an example of this. About 12 years ago, this is before we were married, he was working at a place where he would go out to lunch almost every day with all his programmer friends. And they were from all different backgrounds and ethnic diversity. And he thought it was taking them too long to decide where to go to lunch. That process of, hey, let's talk for 5 minutes where we're going to go to lunch was too much. So he wrote a program called What's for Lunch that would randomly choose through a series of different ratios and percentages of what food they like, how they rated the restaurants, how often they would like to have that food per week. He wrote this program so then he could say, hey, guys, let's choose what's for lunch. Bing. We're going here. He saved himself in a long run maybe 4 minutes per day on deciding what to go for lunch. Maybe you're not that crazy with simplifying life as Corey. Maybe you're not that crazy about simplifying your life like Corey is, but often we say, if there's an easier way, and we have two options, we're gonna take it. For instance, say you had to drive to California, maybe you had to deliver a package. Would you want to drive this car?
Yeah.
Or this car?
No.
It would have been a little easier to drive the first car to California, right? How about if you were going to cook a fantastic meal, say for the Northside Community Church, would you like to cook that meal in this kitchen?
Yeah.
Or this kitchen?
Yeah.
Probably easier in the first one, right?
Yeah.
If you were going to mow a lawn, say a golf course lawn, would you like to mow it this lawn with that tractor on the right or the one on the left? Little easier to do that engine one, that power one where you can sit. If you were going to play with a band, you know, maybe a big band, you wanted to do something maybe for the inauguration or something, what band would you like to play in? This band? It's kind of hard to play other instruments. Or with this band, who are not only good looking, but they look like they have shiny instruments. So that's a great band, all right? Yeah, this one. Why am I saying all this? The point is, when you're a Christian and you desire to follow God and you desire to live what the Bible tells you to live to please God, it's not easy. Let me just tell you, it's stinking hard. It is stinking hard to be a Christian on this earth. But there is an easier way to do it. And often we take the hard way, which is in our own power, instead of taking the much easier route, which is in God's power. So my point today is this. Following Jesus was not meant to be done in our own power. So we're on the same page. Let's just go through what following Jesus means, okay? Because we all can have a different idea what that means. Following Jesus means this. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Following Jesus means we love God with every part of our being, with our whole self. And not only do we love God with that, we love people that way too. And if we love God, it pretty much means this. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. When we love God, we obey him. How do we know what God's telling us to do? The Bible is chock full of examples of how to follow God and follow his son, Jesus. But following Jesus was not meant to be done in our own power. It's like driving that tiny car to California. It's like cutting that lawn with scissors or that little push thing It's like cooking in that kitchen that's just full of junk rather than have a big, open, clean kitchen to cook in. Following Jesus in our own power doesn't make sense. So where do we get this power? Where does this power come from that we want to utilize to make our lives here on earth a little bit easier or a lot easier? Well, you know the Trinity, all right? You've heard this, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is a concept that if we studied it and try to wrap our heads around it, that God is three persons, if we study it from now until the day we die, we're still not going to grasp exactly what God is in three persons. God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit. They are three unique people, yet they are all God. Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, the Father is God. But the Holy Spirit is not Jesus. Jesus is not the Father. They are separate people. Hard to wrap around, okay? But we will get it someday when we're in heaven, or we might not even care at that point. We just want to love all three, all right? So here we go. Here's the power, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We get a lot of talk with God the Father. We talk about him a lot. We talk about his creation. We talk about how we pray to our Heavenly Father. We talk about our spiritual dad. We give a whole lot of talk to Jesus, God's Son. We know he died for us. We have his biography of his life in the Gospels. We pray to him in the power and the authority of his name, which we talked about last week. He gets a lot of talk time too. But the Holy Spirit is kind of the one that we tend to forget sometimes. Even though the Holy Spirit is exactly equal with God the Father and God the Son. He's exactly equal, but we don't give him as much talk time. And he is the power inside us that allows us to live a Christian life. He is the power that makes this Christian life a whole lot easier than doing it on our own power. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. Its meaning, I love this meaning, his breath. His breath. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is God's breath being blown into us. So that whole idea of new life, new creation, being born again, it's God's breath being blown into us. If that's not cool, I don't know what is. Now, not everybody has God's breath blown into them. There is a prerequisite for having God's breath, his spirit, come in you. And there's something you need to do in order for this to happen. Acts 2:38 says this, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In order to have the Holy Spirit, you got to become a Christian. I mean, why else would you have it? In order to have God's breath, the Holy Spirit, the power of God inside you, you have to become a Christian. What does that mean? Back in the book of Acts, it says this, you need to repent. That means you need to turn from your sin. You need to say, I'm tired of living for myself. I turn to God. I repent of my sins. I ask for forgiveness. I know that Jesus died for those sins. I want it. I claim it. I own it. I need it. That's what it means. The baptism, that's a prerequisite for being disciplined, for being discipled, for following through with Christ, for openly saying to people, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I am no longer living in a sinful life. I am dead to that sin, and I am now alive in Christ. A prerequisite for having God's breath, ruach, inside you is becoming a believer, a Christian, a follower of God. If you're not, you don't have that spirit. If you don't, then it's impossible to live a Christian life because you're not a Christian. The power to live a Christian life is found in this spirit. And if you want that Holy Spirit to come in your life, you need to trust and believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only one to God. This passage here in John 14:16, this is what Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. When Jesus was time on this earth, he was already getting set up. He was going to die. He was going to leave this earth. He was going to go back to heaven. He said to his followers, I'm going to be bringing you another. The Greek word for that is allos, A-L-L-O-S. And it means another like me, but not me. Another one like me. That's who the Holy Spirit is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you another one. It's not me. I'm sending you another one like me. And then Jesus' last words in the book of Luke were this. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. This is the power that was promised to the believers after Jesus left. This was the first time the Holy Spirit was actually going to come down and reign permanently in believers. Permanently. That means the Spirit's going to come inside them and not leave them. The Holy Spirit was seen a whole lot during the Old Testament. We're going to talk about that. But this was the time Jesus said, and now I'm leaving here. Stay here in this city because you believers are going to get this whirlwind of the Holy Spirit upon you. And then after that time, those who became saved, those who repented of their sins and followed Jesus, received the Holy Spirit at that point. But these believers who did not have the Holy Spirit, there was going to be a time after Jesus went back up to heaven, they said the Spirit's going to come, and that's the day of Pentecost. That's what we celebrate, the day of Pentecost. The Spirit came down and entered these believers. But the Spirit of God has always been. The Spirit of God was present at creation. Just like God has been, always been, so is the Spirit of God. But during the Old Testament times, it came in different ways. All right, so that's our next point. The Holy Spirit has always been. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was active, but how God would use it is he would give the Holy Spirit to people at a certain time for a certain purpose. So the Spirit would enter them to do something, and then it would leave. It would not permanently stay in them. He did this with kings. The Spirit would come into the king that God appointed. It would reign with the king. And then when the king messed up or the king was no longer serving God, God's Spirit would leave him. That happened to Saul. But here's some examples of when the Spirit came in the Old Testament. Exodus 31:3. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. This was done when the temple of God was being built. God put the Spirit of himself into these craftsmen to do these amazing, unbelievable works of art, to work with gold and metals and all sorts of things, materials and tapestries. God gave them that Spirit so that they could create something that was from God. He breathed his breath in them to create awesomeness. Here, try to guess who he's talking about. Judges 14:6, at this moment the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. Sounds like a good movie, right? He did it as easy if it were, look at Yvonne raising her hand, a young goat, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. Yvonne, who is this?
Samson.
God's Spirit gave Samson physical power, physical strength to do things that were unheard of. Nobody's strong to rip lion's jaws apart. That's crazy talk, right? Or Scott could might do it on a good day if their arthritis isn't acting up. So anyway, so Scott. Oh, really? So anyways, God's breath breathed into Samson to be able to do something incredibly unbelievable with physical strength. Joel 2:28-29, then after doing these things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on servants, men and women alike. What did the Spirit do there? God gave the Spirit so that somebody would prophesy. A prophet would come and tell a nation, this is the message from God, you need to do this, do this, do this. They would see visions of something God's going to do. And God's breath would breathe into these people, and they would do things that normally they could not do. It's impossible. 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words open my tongue, are open upon my tongue. The Spirit of God at that time in the Old Testament would come into people to give them words to say. Words that you think this Bible that these people wrote down, these words, they could have just come up with that stuff? No, that's Ruach. That's God's Spirit upon them to do things that they would not be able to do on their own power. God's Spirit would come upon them to say words. If you are a believer today, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have the Spirit, not in little bursts like it was in the Old Testament. We have it permanently dwelling in us. About once a week in the Mercer household, something happens, and it's very, very typical. I'll be leaving the house sometime at night, maybe heading down here for a meeting or something. I will go and kiss Cameron and say goodbye. I will go and kiss Corey and say goodbye. I will go and kiss Peyton and say goodbye. I will even pet the dogs and say goodbye. I say goodbye to everyone. I cover them with my kisses, my hugs, I love yous, and I'll be out the door. 15 minutes later or so I'm told by Corey, Peyton will start going, Mom! Mom! Asking for something. Corey will then say, Mom left. She said goodbye. Peyton will start sobbing. Oh, she never said goodbye. She never said goodbye. The fact that Pate didn't recognize my presence when I went to say goodbye doesn't mean I wasn't there. The same is true of the Holy Spirit. Just because you haven't been aware of his presence doesn't alter the truth that he's always there. We forget we have this power inside us. We ignore it. Just because we're not paying attention to it doesn't mean that it's not there. When it indwells you, it's a permanent thing. It's a seal. Whether you want to deal with it or not, it's still there. The reason why following Jesus or being obedient to God is so hard is the fact that we don't utilize the presence of the Spirit in our lives every day. Because sometimes we're just not even aware that he's there. Next point. You can't be filled with yourself and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a paradox. You know that old saying, you can't eat your cake and eat it too? Or you can't have your cake and eat it too? I never quite understood that, you know? Because I'm like, oh, I have my cake and I'm eating it too. But I guess the whole idea is once you eat it, you don't have it anymore, right? Yeah, I just figured that out the other day. All right, you can't have your cake, eat it, and then have your cake again. It's like saying, you can't say, I'm saving money and being a great steward with my money and then go buy a yacht. You can't say that you eat healthy and have a dozen donuts a day. Oops. You can't say you're a true Sox fan and be a Cubs fan too. You just can't. It's a paradox, all right? You can't be filled with yourself and be filled with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world?" If you want the presence of God to be powerful in your life, you can't be living in your own spirit. It's a paradox. It doesn't work that way. When we do this discipleship book, I know some of you have gone through it and some of you are going through it right now. There's some circles that we talk about. If this is your life, and let's say that chair is the throne of your life, that's what directs your life, that's what guides your life, that's what you kind of, that's who you are. All right, that's like the main thing of your life. That big S there is self. I'm king. I'm in control. I'm directing this baby. It's through my power. I'm doing it. Myself there, I'm on the throne of my life. All those little circles there represent all the things, your work, your family, your job, your hobbies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And notice the cross is outside your life. This is an unbeliever. This is someone who does not know what it means to be a Christian. This is someone who doesn't have any right now concept of following Jesus, doesn't even believe that Jesus is the Messiah. It's an unbeliever or someone who does not believe. Okay, there's a life. Here's the next one. You got your life, you got your hobbies, your family, your children, your work, all this stuff, and you got the cross. It's on the throne. This is representing Jesus is king of my life. The Spirit is directing my life. I am following that, and I'm sitting at the foot of it, and I'm ready to give in to anything it asks. I'm ready to follow anything it asks. I'm ready to be obedient, submissive, all that stuff. That's a Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life. The Holy Spirit is directing my life. It's filled. This is the one we often tend to do. We're a believer. We got this Jesus in our life. You know, in some areas of life, it might really seem relevant. But for the most part, I'm still sitting on the throne. I'm still directing my own life. He's a part of it. You know, I know I got that Holy Spirit in me. He's a part of it. But for the most part, I'm on that throne. I'm in charge. Oh, I missed something. Sorry. I think I left out a verse, so we'll go with this. Romans 8:5-6 says this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You can't do both. You can't have yourself on the throne at the same time you have Christ on the throne. It just doesn't work that way. Scripture tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says this, "Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, this verse necessarily isn't harping on alcohol. It's the idea that you would take something to fill your life, to make it feel so full and so abundant, to give you that high that you're looking for. And the Bible here is saying, don't pick anything to fill yourself up other than the Spirit of God. So what could that look like so it can relate to all of us? It might be power of your job. I'm building that corporate ladder. I'm going up. And that is fulfilling me. I'm going to be drunk on the power of my position rather than the Spirit of God. It could be something you're really good at, a hobby that just gives you a high, that when you're done doing it, you just feel great and you say, oh, if I can do running. It could be something simple as healthy running that you say, I'm going to do all that. And when I do it, I feel so good about myself. I'm filled with that rather than the Spirit of God. It could be your family. It could be money. It could be self-pity. It can be anything that gives you something other than the Spirit of God filling you. When the Bible tells us that we need to be filled with the Spirit, it's not suggesting that we need to kind of be half filled a little bit or more than the next person or this much in this area and this much in this area. It means we need to be filled completely. Filled is filled. A full glass of water is a full glass of water. Spirit needs to be filled in us. Following Jesus was not meant to be done in our own power. The Holy Spirit has always been. You can't be filled with yourself and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What parts of your life aren't Spirit-filled? If we really let the Spirit of God blow through us with its power, all areas of our life would be changed. If we really had Jesus really sitting on our throne of our lives, all areas of our lives would be changed. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10 says this. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness, in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's often in those times when we say, we can't do this. We're not strong enough. We can't live this life on our own. There's no way I can forgive him. There's no way I can be kind. There's no way I can serve like that. There's no way I can give like that. It is in our weaknesses that God can come through and blow through his power in us. It's when we're all prided up, when we're all, it's all about me and what I do and I made my life this way, that we often are not even aware that God's power wants to come through us. But Paul here was saying, it's at times when I'm like, Lord, I need you, do it for me. Lord, I can't live this life on my own. Do it for me. That's the time when the power goes through. Picture the Spirit like this dam. Something there is blocking the rushing power that God wants to blow through you with his Spirit. That water, you ever see just a dam open up and the water just whoosh, rushes through? It's powerful. Ever been to Niagara Falls? I've been there about a zillion times. That's where my dad lives. Still, when I see that mountain of millions of gallons of water per second flow over those falls, it's overwhelming to me, the power of that water. And the Spirit of God wants to blow through that power through you like that rushing water, God's breath through you. Think how powerful God is, his breath coming through you. He wants to do that, but there's often something that we have that stops it. Something that we say, no. And sometimes we're scared because if we really let that power blow through us, what in our life is going to change? Sometimes we say, if I really, really open the floodgates and let God work through me, I'm going to have to make some changes in how I live. I'm going to switch up some relationships. I'm going to have some hard talks. I'm going to say some apologies. I'm going to do things that I don't think I can. Of course you can't, but God's power can. And sometimes we don't let this out because we think, I've worked so hard all my life. I've got all these things under control. What am I going to do? Let God now come in and kind of change things up? I've worked so hard to do this. I'm a success story. And we get scared. Every one of us has something blocking the power of God in our lives. My guess is you know what it is. My prayer today, as we start poking holes in this dam, you start saying, my pride, my control, my stubbornness have stopped me from really allowing God to blow through my life. It's really slowed me down. My insecurities, my fear of the unknown, my fear of rejection has put some boundaries up to God's Spirit blowing through me. Lord, I confess to you I need help in that area. Lord, I surrender that area to you. That's going to be the first step in knocking this dam down. Following Jesus was not meant to be done in our own power. We all have tried it. We have all tried to follow God's rules and do this and do that on our own power. It wasn't meant to be done that way. God's Spirit was meant to transform us and give the power to do things that we couldn't even imagine being able to do. The Holy Spirit has always been. It was present in the Old Testament. If you're a believer, it's present in your life now. Whether you're aware of it or not is up to you. You can't be filled with yourself and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can't do both. Someone's got to be on the throne of your life. And there's parts of your life that aren't filled. Think of it this way. Say you have a very important house guest that's coming to your house. Very important. You love this person. This person's amazing and special to you, a real VIP in your life. And you put this special person into your guest room. And you shut the door and you lock it. And there your guest stays. Never to come out to eat with you in your dining room. Never to sit in your living room and watch TV with you or play games or talk. Never to go out in your backyard and barbecue with you. Your guest just stays, that very special guest, in the guest room, all locked up. So we do sometimes with the Holy Spirit. We say, you know, you can meet me here at church. I'll let it go and I'll let some, put my hands up, I'll gas, I'll do a woo-hoo, whatever it is. You know, I'll let that spirit out here. But you know what? Those other areas, I'm not comfortable really letting you out. I'm going to keep you there. Doesn't make sense, does it? Holy Spirit was meant to be in every part of our lives. Yeah. That's your family. That's your work. That's your study time when you open God's Word. It's not just reading it. Saying, Holy Spirit, what are you going to teach me here? Transform me. What are you going to show me? It's in your relationships, all your relationships. It's with your feelings. It's with your thoughts. It's with your actions. All parts of your life. When I say this up here, I don't say this like I have this all together. The Holy Spirit has been locked in my guest room that I really don't have, but, you know, symbolically, the guest room, many a times in my life. And I've let him out for different periods at different times. And there's times when I have let that dam burst, and I'm like, whoa, that's intense, and that's awesome. And then things happen, and I start building up that dam again. Okay, that's easier, that's easier, that's easier. But it's foolish of me. It's like playing basketball. Those shoes, pretty great, right? Those are Air Jordans. Playing basketball in those shoes are much easier than playing basketball in these shoes. Right? Pretty impossible unless you're playing underwater basketball. Yeah. The Christian life was not meant to be done in our own power. It's meant to be easy for us to do it with the power of God. It's like shoveling. Scotty, would you be able to shovel easily with this? Or with this? Yeah, I know you're strong, but not that strong. If you were going to go snow shovel, oh, there's a dam breaking through. Okay, we'll leave it there. If you're going to go snow shovel, you're not going to remove snow like this. You want to do it an easy way. We want this to happen to us. God's breath, the gift of having God's breath breathe in us, is too powerful a tool to ignore its presence. So whatever it is that you were blocking God's power from running through you, whatever sin you're holding on to, whatever fear you're holding on to, whatever it is that you're doing, break it down. Poke a hole in it. Start feeling what it's like to live in God's Spirit. Start noticing that it's easier to love that person when you're doing it through God's Spirit than it is to do on your own power. Start realizing it's a lot easier to have faith that life's going to be okay when you're doing it in God's power and not your own power. Start realizing that family situation that breaks your heart is going to give you a lot more peace when you're doing it in God's power and not your own power. Christian life was not meant to be done on our own power. It was meant to be done in the Spirit of God. Have you ignored His presence? Have you forgot He's there? Have you been trying to live both ways? Putting yourself on the throne? And putting maybe Jesus outside your circle? Let's pray. Lord, it amazes me that you think of everything. Like when you left this earth, you knew that we were going to need something to help us. Life is not easy. At times it is taxing and grueling and really, really difficult. But Father, you did give us a helper. You gave us your breath. You breathed your life into us, Lord, and marked us as your own, but you also gave us the power, Lord, to live lives that don't even make sense to others. You gave us power to fight temptations that are impossible to fight. You gave us power, Lord, to love people that are impossible to love. Father, you gave us forgiveness to forgive what doesn't seem possible to forgive. Father, your breath in us allows us to live powerful testimonies here on this earth. And we thank you for that. But Father, we also ask your forgiveness because just because we haven't used you doesn't mean that you haven't been there and ready to be used. And we've ignored your presence at times. Father, just please reveal yourself through your Spirit in us again and renew that in us. Father, and sometimes we've chosen to live our own lives directed by our own self rather than directed by you. You cannot serve two masters, and we have tried. Father, please give us the courage to allow you to be on that throne of our lives, to be the king, the director, the leader. And Father, with being filled, we've allowed you maybe to fill one area in our life, but we've locked you up to that one area. Father, I pray for each one of us now, whatever those areas are that we have just neglected, that we haven't even introduced the power of your Spirit into, that today, Lord, would be the day that we break down the dam and we let you flow through. I can't imagine, Lord, what a difference my life would be, what a difference this congregation's life would be, if all of our dams were broken down. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us. We know that you will. I guess my prayer is that we would break down and let you fill us so that you may do your mighty work the way that you want it done, Lord.